1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A president and a former president squaring off on a debate stage tonight in Atlanta. What are the issues most important to those who will be watching? ABC News political director Rick Klein.
Inflation, by far the biggest. 50% of voters say that's a big factor. Immigration next on the list. Then you've got political extremism and abortion, crime, and some other issues. And this is striking. Donald Trump is seen as better handling all of the top issues, both of the biggies, inflation and immigration. Trump, a 10-point edge in trust to handle inflation, immigration, a 12-point edge. It's only when you get a little lower down that priority list into political extremism and abortion rights that you just start to see a Biden advantage.
Boeing is being sanctioned by U.S. investigators for sharing information about a federal investigation of that door plug blowout that left a gaping hole in a Boeing 737 MAX 9 jet back in January. Today could be the busiest travel day of the year from the TSA's point of view. Millions of people getting out of town on this, the start of the 4th of July holiday week. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear Planned Parenthood's lawsuit that asks the court to declare that access to abortion is a right protected by the Wisconsin Constitution. WisPolitics reports anti-abortion groups will not be allowed to intervene, but they will be allowed to file a brief opposing the lawsuit. The first presidential debate is tomorrow night. Lynn Carey is a retired nurse in Germantown who's had a double lung transplant, but she says she's listening to hear what the candidates say about reproductive care.
We have all heard the stories of what happens when there is not access to appropriate care. The results we're seeing, the impact of the Dobbs decision must be addressed.
Civic Media's debate coverage starts tomorrow night at 7:30 on many of these stations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A 100,000-square-foot forging facility gets the go-ahead from the Green Bay City Council this week. The council approved a permit for the Green Bay Drop Forges facility on the far east side of the city. The facility had opposition from neighbors concerned with the 24/7 noise that would come from the press production, hammer, and machine shop. Company officials say the noise will remain within legal limits. Holly Popart, one of the organizers for Oshkosh Pride, said this celebration has one ultimate goal in her mind.
To save lives. We, unfortunately, even with all of the progress that we have made, our community faces like enormously more rates of, you know, suicide attempts, rates of homelessness, rates of, you know, mental health struggles.
Oshkosh Pride is Saturday from 2 till 7 at the Leech Amphitheater. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Bucks add a player in the first round. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. NBA draft, the Bucks picked A.J. Johnson, a 19-year-old guard from California who was offered to play at Texas but chose the pro league in Australia.
No, I loved my time in Australia, just playing with professionals at an early age and just picking their brains, you know, seeing what they do to be great professionals and stuff like that. I just felt like that was just really good for my development on and off the court, and I had great guys that I was with, so... It made it so much, like, a lot more fun.
Bucks GM John Horst.
He's growing up playing against pros, which I think is great for him.
Round two of the draft is tonight. Baseball, the Brewers have the day off after sweeping the Rangers with a 6-5 win in extra innings. Andrew Monasterio to left field to drive in the winning run in the 10th.
The team pulls for him. He understands his role. I mean, it's great for someone like that to pick everybody up.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north becoming south at 5 to 15. 56 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan and a little weather update. It's Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We have a very special guest lined up for you this morning, Ms. Jasmine Harris. She is the director of Black Media for Biden and for the Joe Biden campaign. Hey, good morning to you, Ms. Harris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing just fine. You know, I've been, you know, talking a little bit about the fact that Republicans have jumped on the bandwagon of Donald Trump, who says, well, Joe Biden is going to be, you know, he should be drug tested. They think he's going to have too much caffeine in his system. What are your thoughts about the insanity of the other side of this equation, who is making excuses for the spanking that Donald Trump is about to receive?
That's exactly what it is. It's insanity, and it's their attempt at trying to distract the American people from the fact that Donald Trump is a racist, he's erratic, and he has absolutely no business being anywhere near the White House. You know, tonight's debate will provide yet another opportunity for voters out there to be able to see the contrast between these two men. You have Donald Trump, who during his time in office was a racist who divided the nation every chance he got. You know, he incited the insurrection at the Capitol, his policies resulted in record high black unemployment, the least amount of African-Americans with health care that we've ever seen, who left black-owned businesses shattered during the pandemic, who told us to inject ourselves with bleach during the pandemic. We have to remember that because of Donald Trump's inability to lead us through the pandemic, it was our people, black Americans, who disproportionately died because of his inability to lead, because of him being erratic, because of him just not having the qualities to lead a country. And so that's what you'll have on one side. On the other side, you'll have Joe Biden, who 4 years ago ran on specific promises to our community, and he's made good on those promises. We have millions of new jobs created for black workers. We have record low black unemployment. We have black-owned small businesses starting up at the fastest rate in generations. We have more black Americans with health care than ever before. The cost of insulin capped at $35 for seniors. We have black child poverty cut in half during the pandemic, and so much more work to do that Joe Biden is committed to getting done. So you have one candidate who has a record to show for, who is telling us he's going to continue working on our behalf, and you have another candidate who couldn't care less about us, and that's Donald Trump.
Let me ask you, because as a 70-year-old black man, the median income in America for the black family is $45,000 or $48,000. For a white family, it's $290,000. After all of this time, we still are faced with that. I know that Joe Biden is making an attempt to address those issues and this imbalance that continues to dog this nation. After all these years, a median income for black families being only $45,000 to $48,000, and white families $290,000 or more, really kind of tells the story, right, about why there has to be the kind of changes that President Biden is talking about.
Right, and why we have to continue putting people in office who are going to continue the progress. 4 years isn't enough. The numbers right. that you just said are horrible. They're staggering. 4 years isn't enough to completely tackle that and to remedy it so that there is equity across the field in economics for black families and our white or otherwise counterparts. But you have a president and a vice president who have put forth policies that are trying, you know, that's why you have billions of dollars forgiven in student loan gap. That's nothing but efforts to try to close the racial wealth gap, because we know that it's black Americans who disproportionately have to take out student loans either for ourselves or for our children. And so when you have leadership in office who are doing things to try to remedy these situations, the worst thing we can do is let Donald Trump, a known racist, back in office, because he's going to roll back all of that progress, and then it puts us further back, even further back from trying to close these things.
You know, the truth of the matter is that you're right. Incrementally, it's probably the only way. There is no magic wand to wave to bring the inequity that has been going on for centuries in this nation towards blacks in 4 years or 8 years. But it's got to be systematic, and clearly Joe Biden has been doing that. You know, there are people who ask me, they say, well, is it true that the black community is going to be voting for Donald Trump? And I'm like, hey, if you want to believe what the Republican Party is saying, you know, then I got some land to sell you. You know, the United States of America, I control it. Let me deed it over to you. You know, our community, even though there are some who are frustrated with what is taking place, and they know about the inequities that are going on, and many of the younger blacks in our community are struggling, that doesn't mean they're voting for Donald Trump. They know what they're getting with Donald Trump.
Exactly. And I think, you know, to speak to that, there has been a ton of progress made because of the work that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done over their last 4 years. But there's a lot of work to still be done. And there's only one candidate who's going to be on that debate stage tonight who is committed to doing that work to make life easier and make life better for Black America, and that's Joe Biden. Donald Trump could not care less about us. He doesn't care about our lives. He doesn't care about our livelihood. He doesn't care about putting forth policy that will make things easier for us, that will close the racial wealth gap, that will put money back in our pockets. He does not give a damn about the well-being of Black America. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do, and we know they do because of how much they put Black America at the forefront of their policy, because they're doing billions of dollars in investments to HBCUs, billions of dollars for giving a student loan debt, fighting off MAGA Republicans from trying to rip away our health care coverage. We have more Black Americans right now with health care than we ever had before because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris protected Obamacare, because Donald Trump is obsessed with repealing Obamacare for no other reason than because it's the signature achievement of the first Black president.
So we
have an administration who has put us at the forefront, who understands, who values us, and we need to get behind them come November to give them 4 more years to continue working on this progress.
So if you're just joining me, my guest is Jasmine Harris. She is the director of Black Media for the Biden campaign. You know, this debate, there's whining and whimpering and crying from Republicans on the other side saying, hey, they're going to cut off Donald Trump's microphone. Well, no, they're not going to cut it. Both of the candidates are going to have the microphones cut off while the other is answering, because if anybody remembers 4 years ago and 8 years ago, or maybe a little bit longer, when Donald Trump ran against Hillary Clinton and he kept interrupting her, he would not, didn't have the common courtesy. Here's a person that's running for president of the United States. And one of the things you should expect from that person is common courtesy. But he doesn't have that. So when he ran against Joe Biden 4 years ago, interrupting him nonstop. So if the microphones are shut off, it's because of a man who acts like a child.
Who acts like a child, who has no decorum about himself, who has no respect or regard for other people's. If it's one thing we all know about Donald Trump, is he's selfish, he's erratic, and he only cares about his own well-being and his own success. And so that's why you see, you know, erratic behavior like cutting off and not having a regard for the other person on the stage. And if it's one thing, you know, as a Black woman, as a mother, I'm proud to work for a candidate who has certain values about himself, who values family, who values self-respect and dignity and hard work. And that's what you have in Joe Biden. And so he's going to display that, Joe Biden, today on that stage. He's going to continue to talk about the progress that we've made and the progress that he wants to continue to work to make on behalf of all Americans and particularly the Black community. And so that's what you'll see. You'll see the contrast of these two men on that stage. And you have one man who is a leader in Joe Biden, who has delivered for us and will continue delivering for us. And then you have another human. I can't even call him a man. Another human who's a racist, who's a bigot, who just has no quality.
Misogynist.
And we saw. We have a record. We have Donald Trump's record. He was a disaster for Black America. He was a disaster for this country. He was a complete embarrassment of us. And so we cannot let Donald Trump. He needs to not be anywhere near the White House again.
So let me, you know, in the end, like I said, I'm 70 years old. I've seen a lot of debates. Joe Biden, we know what he and Kamala Harris's plan is for our nation. It's spelled out. Okay. It's to offer and balance to our nation. It's to make sure that the average American who struggles and suffers, is not forgotten. It's to not allow the corporations to continue to run roughshod over the American people. On the other hand, we know what Donald Trump's message is: tax cuts for the rich, right? I mean, that's the summation of it,
right? Yes, it is, and so that's what we'll see on that debate stage tonight: is a selfish man, a vindictive man, a man with no plan, and a racist in Donald Trump, and we'll see real leadership and a man with values and a man that can lead us into continued progress, particularly for Black America in Joe Biden. And so, you know, I encourage folks to tune in. And, you know, this is a long election, and we're looking forward to continuing to talk with and engage with Black America throughout the summer to make sure that we understand that we have the most to lose in this election because of the work that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done on our behalf over the last 4 years.
Hey, Ms. Harris, last thing before we let you go. And a felon. He's a felon.
Thank you
very much for the time. Really appreciate it. Up next, Mr. Omar Flores for the Coalition to March on the RNC. I'm so happy and excited to have this young man in the studio. 844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And as promised, I am so happy to have in the studio Mr. Omar Flores. He is with the Coalition to March on the RNC. Good morning to you, young man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having us on.
Man, you know, tell us a little bit about Omar Flores before we get into all the other things.
Yeah, you know, I've been in the progressive movement generally for around like 10 years now. I was brought to political consciousness through the Ferguson movement, you know, around the killing of Mike Brown. And since then, I haven't really stopped.
You know, there are people from my generation who think that you young people are misguided. When the protests for Gaza and Israel were going on, and there was constant talk about the young people being misguided and not knowing and being brainwashed. And I remember going down and meeting with those young people who had the tents up.
Oh, yeah, we helped lead that effort.
Yeah, and spoke to them and then brought them in to talk about, you know, why they were doing what they were doing. Listen, you guys know you're not being misled. You're very smart young people who see some things and injustice. Well, you speak for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see a lot of parallels from now to the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, you know. I'm sure a lot of folks were saying the same thing about the student movement against Vietnam, you know, and it's some of the same organizations actually nowadays that are fighting against, you know, the wars overseas. You know, Students for a Democratic Society, for an example, I mean, that existed in the 60s and 70s, and they were telling them the same thing. You don't know any better. You have no sense, you know, you're disrupting things for the sake of disrupting. But, I mean, these students have a strong moral compass. Is what I think a lot of people don't realize.
So you guys organize to march on the Republican National Convention. Why?
Because, I mean, you have to stop hate when it comes to your doorstep, you know? I mean, if it sets a terrible precedent if the Republicans could come to our city and they just get to do whatever they want, right? Because as it sits, our city's not stopping them, right? They're actually rolling out the red carpet. They're putting Milwaukee on a platter for them. And, you know, if the residents don't get up and say something, then nobody will, essentially. So.
You know, and the reason I wanted to have you on is because you're being heard across the entire state of Wisconsin. And they don't know that this is going to happen. For the first time that I can ever recall, you guys have been basically, your constitutional rights have been violated.
Yeah,
to petition, right? And to and you guys asked for permits in your own city, mm-hmm, long before the Republican, you know, National Committee was solidly locked in. Once you heard about it, you guys started organizing. What's your thoughts about the city basically telling, you know, the residents of the city and others that you don't matter?
You know, it's something that we expect, unfortunately. I mean, a lot of us organize in different organizations, right? We have like reproductive justice organizations. We have organizations that fight against police crimes. And anytime that we have a campaign that we've won, it's taken a very long time. It's like through a lot of resistance that anything gets done in the city of Milwaukee. And, you know, but when the Republicans come, everything gets done in like a week, 2 weeks. I mean, you have even like pretty conservative older people that were saying like, this is abnormal. We usually don't see things getting done this faster or, you know, without much consideration. And so, you know, I mean, it's expected, unfortunately, but I mean, we always say it in our organizing. We say, you know, we expect nothing and we're still disappointed, you know, and that's just been sort of the motto of Milwaukee for us for the past 2 years that we've been organizing around.
So they push you guys away from the concentrated area where the Republicans are going to be, the Pfizer Forum and the Baird Center. And what I've heard constantly is we don't want to have to see them.
Yeah.
You heard that?
No, we've heard that.
The Republicans,
yeah.
They don't want to have to see them.
They actually quoted me directly in that letter. They quoted me saying that I'm trying to foster torment is what they say. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, we just met, but I mean, I don't feel like I come off as a crazy person.
No.
I feel like I'm a pretty regular person, and I feel like I'm pretty representative of the whole coalition. I mean, we're regular people that, you know, want to have our voices heard just like anyone else.
So for people who don't know, and they may think this is just one loony guy who is out here, you know, you talked about how many different coalitions this is, and the fact that you're talking about maybe 5,000 people.
Yeah, we got about 90 organizations signed on, you know, half of them from Milwaukee and, you know, across the state, and the other half from all across the nation. I mean, we're definitely expecting around 5,000 people to be showing up. We know there's plenty of buses headed on over.
So does it mean then that you guys are going to stay in the zones where they put you?
No. You know, we were so clear with them since 2 years ago. Honestly, it feels like we're driven to the point of insanity because, I mean, from the very moment that we knew it was going to be at the Pfizer Forum, we said we would like to be within sight and sound of the front doors of the Pfizer Forum. That's been our line from the very beginning. And they keep giving us these things that are totally outside of sight and sound of the Pfizer Forum. They're like, well, you'll be next to their hotels, you know, or you'll be next to, you know, where some of them might be walking, where the media trucks are. And we're like, we didn't ask for that. For 2 years, we've made our demand very simple and very clear, and they refuse to acknowledge that. We followed all the proper steps that the city put out for us, and they even shifted the goalpost, and we followed those goalposts, and still nothing.
Does it bother you that they've it's okay for these people to come in with their guns, right?
Oh, I mean,
they'll be, many of them will be armed. And so, you know, are you worried? Are you concerned?
No, honestly. And, you know, people might think that I'm naive or crazy for saying that, you know, but I mean, as I said, I've been in this for 10 years. I mean, I've seen some really escalated situations. I grew up in Kenosha. I was very much, you know, in the organizing around Kenosha when that happened in 2020. You know, I mean, it doesn't scare me, you know, because I know there's power in numbers. I know that, you know, when hate shows up, we show up to confront it just the same way that, you know, when there's drag shows and there's gun threats or whatever, you know, that wasn't a reason for people to cancel the event. That was a reason for people to go. We had hundreds of people out there to defend what was going on, and we plan to do the same at the RNC. And, you know, we've done all the mitigating measures possible. You know, we have legal observers. We have dozens of medics that are like actually trained, like real medics. These aren't just people off the street. You know, we got hundreds of marshals that we've taken from across the country that are trained in de-escalation. And so, you know, we feel pretty confident in what we're going in with. You know, we know that we have a dominant popular narrative, and we know that even if the Republicans, even if the crazy Nazi right wingers had really tried, they will not be able to outnumber us. We will always be much stronger than them.
Yeah, but law enforcement, because the amount of money that has been spent in the planning of this and law enforcement, it almost appears like there's two trains on the same track running towards one another. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Mr. Omar Flores for Coalition to March on the RNC. Your thoughts, 844-967-27.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 17 people have died in ATV and UTV crashes in Wisconsin so far this year. The Department of Natural Resources says most of the victims were not wearing seatbelts or helmets. Many of them had been drinking, too. A lot of people are expected to take to the roads and trails on the long 4th of July weekend. All the storms Wisconsin's been getting means flooded basements and damaged roofs and siding. Bao Vang is with the Better Business Bureau. She says they're there to help you find reputable contractors.
We can help you look online, find reputable companies, those that have been doing great business with other customers.
Vang recommends making sure you know what your insurance covers first. She says you're best off hiring local accredited contractors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A task force created to address the housing shortage in Appleton has separated the needs of the city into five themes: vision, process, activation, proactiveness, and communication. The Housing Development Policy Task Force, which involves real estate agents, home builders, the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce, and even Habitat for Humanity, was created last year. Studies from 2023 showed the Fox Valley will need over 18,000 new residential units by 2030. One person was taken into custody following a domestic disturbance that closed a portion of East Mason Street in Green Bay for 2.5 hours Wednesday morning. The Green Bay Police Department said officers were called to the residence just before 6:15 and eventually took a person into custody without incident. The road was reopened at about 8:40 a.m. No injuries were reported. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martin Short is filling in for Jimmy Kimmel this week. On his first night, he got a surprise visit from guess who? Steve Martin. Martin took the stage near the end of Short's monologue and told the crowd he was honored that Jimmy asked him to be the guest host first, but he said no and told Kimmel not to worry that he would find someone to fill in for scale. That's a paraphrase. Short replied, "I appreciate you being here, Steve. There are very few people in this world I truly admire, and you are very close to being one of them. How do you not love those guys?" Jeremy Renner might be working again, but he says he's not ready to play challenging roles after his snowplow accident in January of last year. Renner told the guys on the Smartless podcast that he doesn't have the energy to play make-believe. Despite returning to acting for season 3 of The Mayor of Kingstown, which he says is easier because it's familiar, the actor is still recovering from severe chest trauma after a snowplow ran him over. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north becoming south at 5 to 15. 56 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. And never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm and Superior, Wisconsin 4th of July Parade Coordinator Carolyn Nelson Cavias. It's going to be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
So in love,
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I am so happy to have in studio a young man, Mr. Omar Flores, for the Coalition to March on the Republican National Convention in the city of Milwaukee. Omar, we were talking off the air. You know, I don't think people really understand the fact that you guys aren't going to adhere to the areas that they gave you. And law enforcement is here from all over the nation with arresting powers, right?
Yep.
So they can just, you know, arrest you guys. And some of that is going to happen. So, or do you think it's going to happen? You guys are certainly prepared for it.
Yeah, we're prepared. You know, we like to prepare for the worst situation, right? Even if, like, we don't really feel like it's going to happen, even if it's unlikely, we really just like to be ready. You know, I mean, the folks that we're leading in the march, they're essentially in our care. And so we like to be as safe as absolutely possible. That's why we have hundreds of marshals. We have medics. We have everything lined up. You know, with all of that said, though, I mean, we march through Milwaukee all the time without a permit. Like, a lot of people don't know that. We do it without a permit, and we keep people perfectly safe. The police leave us alone. And because of that, nothing escalates. And so what we're expecting is the same at the RNC. And I think that if we see differently at the RNC, I think that shows that the city is willing to bend for the Republicans, right? Again, like, that sets a terrible precedent. But, yeah, I mean, we're ready to get arrested if we have to. You know, we're going to try and prevent it as much as possible. We're going to do our best to keep people safe. But, I mean, we operated in good faith with the city for 2 years now. And we really tried to do this the right way, the way that they told us to do it, and they still would not allow us a route that is acceptable.
You when you say, meaning negotiating with the city on where you can and cannot be.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, for these 2 years, the city has not even really talked with us. They just said, well, you know, we have to wait for the Secret Service. We have to wait for that. You know, but this route has been known forever, and the Secret Service just went ahead and, you know, put their credential zone behind pretty much most of the march that we had planned out. And, you know, unfortunately, not much we could do about that. But that's also why we filed a lawsuit, is because the city was just refusing to talk with us. The first time that we actually got to sit down and negotiate with the city about anything is when we filed a lawsuit. Like, why should we have to file a lawsuit to actually have our voices heard? If we didn't have the ACLU on retainer, if they weren't doing this pro bono, I mean, we're working folks. I mean, we can't pay for expensive lawyers to do this type of thing. We would have just been out of luck.
So the ACLU's perspective on this is that you guys are right.
Absolutely.
You have a constitutional right to protest.
Yep. Yeah, that's the basis of the lawsuit, is that the city has been effectively restricting our First Amendment rights. And I think we will win on those grounds, especially seeing how the city had shifted. Actually, the Secret Service had shifted their credentialed zone based on Republican complaining. And, you know, so what our lawyers are telling us, you know, if we went into the lawsuit saying that we know better than the Secret Service that they need to change their credentialed zone, we would look crazy. But the Republicans are able to do it, right?
So what they need to understand about your group and about what's going to transpire is, you know, you've got organized people who have done these things before. And so you're not novices at this. You're not going to be people who are going to, you know, be intimidated, nor are you looking to intimidate.
No, the city is painfully aware of us. You know, we've done this plenty of times. Last time the Republican debate was here, the National Republican debate was here in Milwaukee last year in August. We marched on that, and it went without incident.
So for the sake of clarity, I was there. And I was a part of the group that marched, a union. I'm a union guy. And one of the unions asked me if I would be willing to do that. And yes, and we were down by the FISA Forum.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah. And so, listen, I keep talking about our, unfortunately, a nation and people of our nation who acquiesce and keep giving up rights because one side demands that we give up the rights that if you're born in this nation, you're born with. Mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But because the Republicans are saying and putting pressure on our city government capitulates. Is that the way it's supposed to work?
No, no. And that's why we need to be out there on the streets, you know? And that's why it's so important to be doing what we're doing. That's why organizers exist, you know, because when people aren't given the solution to a problem, they learn to live with it. And, you know, we don't want people to learn living without rights. You know, we want people to fully exercise them.
So let me ask you, so what is it about the Republican Party that you guys feel is a danger to not just the city of Milwaukee, the fact that they're here, but their policies and why you're in the protest mode?
I mean, look at wherever they are. I mean, look at what happens in Florida. Look at what happened on January 6th. Anywhere that these Republicans go, anything that this new radicalized sort of extremist base go, you know, they bring issues. And you know, they're trying to bring those issues to Milwaukee, and we're not going to let them. And so, I mean, I always have a hard time when people ask this, right? Because it's almost like people asking me, like, why are you being human about this, right? Like, why are you willing to take such a strong stance against humanity? You know, it's inhumane what they're doing. It almost feels redundant to go through the list of the things that they've done these past few years, just because, I mean, like, I feel like anybody with a conscience should be able to fully understand exactly why we're fighting against them. I try to keep an open mind, because I know there's a lot of people that are not at that point yet, you know? But, I mean, the proof's there. I mean, our country was not improved by Reagan. You know, our country was not improved by Trump, right? The only thing that the country is going to be improved by is exactly by what we're doing, is by taking direct action, right? You had mentioned that the Republicans are putting so much pressure on the city. We have to be greater than that pressure. And I know that we're greater than that pressure, but we just have to be organized to apply it.
All right, let's go. Hey, CJ, you're up.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl. And, you know, I appreciate what this gentleman's trying to do, but, you know, when I've seen what they consider as peaceful protests, I think it speaks something differently. And you know,
CJ, you mean like January 6th?
You know, those I've told you before, the people that have caused damage should be prosecuted or hurt.
Shouldn't you say that same thing on the other side of the coin? Why do you say that you've seen them and then you lump them all together, but then on the other side of it, you want to talk about a group of people, and you don't see the contradiction in that, CJ?
Well, as I listen to you and him, this guest talk, I never heard so many innuendos with very little facts. There's no facts put out, because the mere fact that we do have two records of what Trump did, we're living your policy.
CJ, thank you very much for the call. CJ is a guy who represents the other side of things, and the Democrats are the worst thing that ever happened, and Joe Biden, these are the worst years in the history of the nation. When Donald Trump was the president, they were the best years in the history of the nation. And it's not that simplistic. But clearly this chasm between Republicans and Democrats are what has brought us to this point. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you guys, many of you are educated. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, how do I say this? You know, a lot of us that are organized to march in the RNC here in 2024 had actually organized to march on the DNC in 2020, right? It's not, I mean, because we're foaming at the mouth like we're rabid and we hate everyone, right? It's because, you know, we understand that no matter who's in office, but like I said before, we have to apply the pressure, you know? You know, there might be some well-intentioned Democrats out there and, you know, they're doing the best that they can or whatever, but like they're going to do even better if they have people behind them pushing them to do it. And so I think a lot of people like kind of misunderstand like the angle here, you know. I mean, like, if I'm being honest, a lot of young folks, especially young educated folks, they're not super bought into the whole electoral thing, and it's actually made it kind of difficult organizing around the RNC, right? Because the question is always like, well, are you supporting the Democrats? And it's like, well, not necessarily. We're just saying whoever ends up, you know, we have to be the resistance against it, right? We have to advocate for what it is that we're fighting for. So.
You know, man, our nation was created and continues. It's not a perfect entity, and it's never been, and it's still in, you know, developmental stages. And we can talk about, you know, romanticize about the founding fathers and all of those different things, but our nation is a work in progress, and so it needs at times to be prodded, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Sometimes it needs to be hit over the head with a hammer, because, you know, it's headed in the wrong direction many times.
Right.
And so we've got to work hard. My audience, again, as I said before, is a generation of baby boomers for the most part, with some Generation Xers mixed in. And so they may not have the patience and understanding of, you know, why you guys are willing to do this. But as you stated before, we did it when we were young.
Yeah.
The times required it. If there ever was a time that our nation needed to be forced to look in the mirror, it's now. Your generation is struggling economically.
Oh, I love that you said that it's required, right? You know, a lot of us don't want to be doing this, if I'm being real. I mean, like, I feel like I'm good at it. It feels good to do it, right? But, like, you know, I would much rather be spending time on myself, you know? I'd rather be chilling at home on a couch or something. Like, again, it requires it. I would not be able to live with myself just having these things pass by and not do anything about it. And I wish folks like CJ would understand that, you know? That, I mean, he could check our track record. I mean, we're the folks that organized against the Republican debate. We organize the march in the RNC. You know, we're going to organize against the RNC as they come here. And, you know, everything went without incident, you know. And, you know, we never put ourselves out to be peaceful necessarily. We said that we're going to have a family-friendly march, but you bet they're going to hear us, right? People have a different idea what peaceful looks like. And if people think that it's not so peaceful to be yelling at somebody, then, well, I'm sorry. Then I guess we're not peaceful then. We're going to be yelling.
So has the national news media been in touch with you guys?
Oh, yeah. Almost too much. My phone's been blowing up constantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, some of them are covering in pretty good faith. I think that some of them are pushing the same narrative that somebody like CJ might be pushing, that it's going to be chaos. And, you know, I mean, we've done everything we can to combat that. You know, I genuinely feel that, like, so many people that feel afraid about this march, even people that are progressive, you know, it's feeding into the Republican agenda. They want to convince people that this is going to be pure chaos, that it's going to be, they're trying to get people to not go and march against them is essentially what's happening.
Yeah, well, as I stated before, you know, this isn't the first rodeo. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by Mr. Omar Flores. He's with the Coalition to March on the RNC. Now is your time. You say what? On the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
My name is Squall, best shaker in the world. Shake it on down.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm really happy about having invited Mr. Omar Flores, who is representing the Coalition to March on the RNC, into the studio, and I promised him I'd bring him back as we get closer to the convention. Because Omar, I think the nation, the young people in this nation is in good hands when there are people like you and organizations like yours who are going to make sure that people kind of keep things level and keep things straight.
It's appreciated that you say something like that, honestly. I think sometimes we get a little bit tunnel visioned and, you know, we get super focused on what we're doing. And yeah, I mean, I think sometimes we even forget that what we do has an impact, you know, that people are seeing it and people appreciate it. So, I mean, hearing that's really, really nice.
All right, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, I want to say, Mr. Flores, I appreciate everything you're doing. And I know how it is to do what you're doing because I did it when I was a child, or I shouldn't say a child, a young person of 15 years old. And March for Civil Rights. You keep on going. You have a strong support, and we believe in you.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much. I'm sure those words of encouragement matter, right?
Oh, absolutely. Really appreciate it, Susan. And I'm also from Kenosha, so it's nice to hear from somebody in Kenosha.
All right, let's go to David from San Francisco. Hey, good morning to you, David. How you doing, sir?
Hey, pretty good, Earl. And you just two things. Yes, he's working for civil rights. One of the themes that I've been trying to lean on when I call the right-wing shows is taxation with representation, that everybody deserves equal use of our property. And since the rich don't want to pay taxes, but they want the representation, they want to buy Congress, they want to buy or basically steal our property. So just lean on the theme of taxation with representation, instead of representation without taxation. And the other thing, I heard this on one of the comedy shows last night. Is it true that the Supreme Court came up with a ruling yesterday that say that bribes, that judges can get gratuities, that they're not called bribes, but that you can tip a judge after he gives you a ruling that you like? And if you pay him ahead of time, that's a bribe. But if you tip him afterward, that's a gratuity,
so,
and that's legal.
So, David, we will broach that subject tomorrow with Sandy Williams. So thank you very much for the call. So let me say to you, Omar, if there's somebody else who wants to join the march, what should they do? And what warnings would you give them if they're listening and they just want to, what do you expect from those who will be marching with you?
Yeah, so, I mean, people are just expected to bring their own attendance and, you know, we'll help them make a sign on whatever issue that they want to advocate for that's against the Republicans. They're more than welcome to join. We're going to be gathered at Red Arrow Park on July 15th, starting at 10 a.m. Going to start a rally around 11 a.m. and then start marching at noon.
But you certainly want them to have some decorum. I mean, is it safe to say that you don't want people to just be flying off the handle independently?
No, we would like for people to be able to listen to our organizers. We have hundreds of marshals that are going to be there. They're trained in the skills of de-escalation. So, like, let's say we pass like a bunch of like these crazy right-wing psychopaths that are trying to antagonize people. A lot of marshals will come about and they'll be like, hey, you know, we're not here for them specifically. You know, we're here to march on the RNC. And so let's, you know, just have some unity here and we'll keep on marching. And, you know, that's what would be expected of them, you know, is to listen to the marshals. You know, they're not there to police you. They're there to keep you safe and, you know, make sure that we're keeping everyone in mind. Right.
So what are you actually looking to get out of this, you know, protest? And is there a point where you could say, hey, we were successful? Is there a point where you say, hey, we weren't successful?
Yeah, so, like, the thing is, like, when an RNC comes to a city or, like, any kind of big convention, big security event, there's a lot of things that stay in the city. And so one of those things is, like, surveillance equipment, for example, or, like, you know, things that police use. I mean, those things don't leave, and that's pretty scary to think about. But in a more optimistic sense, right, something that stays in the city is the unity that was fostered within the coalition. You know, I mean, organizations, they sometimes find reasons to fight that maybe they shouldn't. And, you know, having a unifying force against the Republicans, I mean, that really helps people in being able to defend ourselves and each other and our own communities. And so, you know, that's a measure of success. And I think something else that we're really seeking to do is that, you know, the Republicans have this agenda that everyone puts out, you know, whether it's the national news media, international news media, and you know, they're pretty well covered. But we want our stuff covered, right? We want the stuff that we're fighting for covered equally, if not more, than the Republicans. So in our eyes, a successful march and a successful demonstration would mean that our agenda gets put before theirs.
Listen, man, yeah, it's my first time having an opportunity to meet with you. I am honored to be in your presence. The fact that a young man like you is taking this time. And what do you do for a living, by the way?
I'm a network engineer, actually. I have like two jobs. I do this and then I'm a network engineer.
Well, clearly you are a guy who's cognizant of what is happening, what needs to happen in your nation. Thank you. We'll have you back on before the convention is here. I promise you.
Thank you so much,
everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Couldn't do it without you. Up next. Oh, and thank Dr. Omar for Dr. Omar in the pharmacy on the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, Jane Madden and Greg Bach on Madden Air on Air. See you guys later.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate, Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.